If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 18, we're going to be looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant tonight. And it's one that perhaps you've read before, perhaps you've studied it, talked about it, learned about it before, but it certainly is one that we need to keep being reminded of because we have a tendency to forget. And this parable that Jesus tells, I hate to say all of Jesus' parables and all of His teaching was wonderful. It was the perfect teaching from the perfect teacher. But this one seems to be one that so many times we need so much and we need to be reminded of. Let's begin by looking at that in Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin in verse 21 where Peter says to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now Peter knew that in their Jewish history and in their culture, seven was a very special number. That was a big deal. And we still seven, there are 7 days in a week. So that was, he thought, wow, I'm really, seven times, I'm really doing something special here if I'll forgive him seven times. But then Jesus said, "I say unto you, not till seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now, some say 77 times. Others say 70 times 7. But at any rate, what Jesus tells Peter is, no, you've got to go way beyond that. And some people say, well, I'll do more than that. I'll keep track. But that's not the point. What Jesus is trying to get us to understand is we need to keep on forgiving. We need to not stop forgiving. We need to not really set a limit on how often we're willing to forgive somebody. And then he tells them this parable. Verse 23, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Now, of course, this king in Jesus' parable represents God. God is the king over all, just as this king is the king over all his servants. And he's going to take account of them on this particular occasion. Verse 24, "When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." And we're going to talk about that number. It's significant. We're going to talk about that in a minute. "But this fellow owed him a lot." 10,000 of anything is a lot, whatever it might be. And it goes on to say, "But for as much as he had not to pay," in other words, he didn't have any way to pay this debt, "his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made." Now, of course, even if his wife and children and himself, even if they all were sold, it wasn't going to bring the 10,000 talents that he owed. But at least it would start a payment on the debt. In other words, this man owed more than he was worth. More than him and his whole family were worth. Do you know anybody who's ever been in that situation? Well, when we look at us spiritually with God, we're all in that situation. We all owe God more than we're worth. More than we could ever repay. But this man, on this occasion, after realizing he fell down and he worshipped him, and said, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all that I owe you." Now, his promise to pay it all is a little ridiculous, really. But when somebody's in a desperate situation, they make all kinds of promises that they can't keep. But he promises, "I'm going to pay it back." Have you ever made a deal with God like that? "Well, God, if you just this one time forgive me this, I'll never do it again." How long was it before you did it again? It's very rare that we can keep those kinds of promises that we make to God. But we need to understand how much we do owe Him. "The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Now notice that. That's very important. Notice, he doesn't just say, "Okay, you can start your payments next month." He forgave him the debt. Because he begged, because he worshipped him and asked him, "Please do it He forgave it. Have you ever had a debt forgiven? That's a pretty good feeling. You know, when you owe somebody some money and they just say, don't worry about it, you don't have to pay. Oh, that feels good. Well, this man should have felt very good. I mean, he's just been forgiven a debt that he could have never paid. This man who was going to sell him and his whole family into slavery has said, okay, I'll just forgive you the debt instead. He should have been in a pretty good mood. He should have been one of the happiest, most generous, best behavior folks in the world after a situation like that had just occurred in his life. But what does he do? The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you. And he would not. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So he goes out and finds somebody that owes him 100 pence. And we're going to talk about those a little bit in a minute. But how unfeeling is he? He's just been forgiven this great debt. You would think that under those circumstances he could forgive somebody else. But now remember, even though Jesus couches this in terms of money and debt of a physical nature, remember the meaning of a parable. A parable always is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Or a physical story with a spiritual meaning. And Jesus is trying to get us to see a spiritual thing here. He's talking about forgiveness, and here's someone who's been forgiven a great debt. And instead of being forgiving in return, he instead goes out and acts in a very unforgiving way. And how often we, as Christians, act that way. We say our prayer, thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of all of the sins in our lives and all of these things, and then we turn right around and hold a grudge against somebody for some little bit of nothing for 10 years. We've got to move beyond that. Points out then that the other servants saw what was done. They came and told the Lord all that was done. Now, of course, we understand, since Jesus is putting this in human terms, unlike God, who is all-knowing, this master didn't know everything. This king, this Lord, didn't know it all, so he had to be told. But the idea there, of course, is that God will know. Be sure your sins will find you out. We hold grudges. We keep an account of, well, so-and-so owes me one. And that person over there, I'll never do business. I'm not going to ever do anything for them again. And so-and-so said something bad about me once, 15 years ago. And we remember all these little petty things. But when they went and told the king had called him and he said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired it. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant even as I had pity on you? And then he goes on to say that the Lord was wroth, he was very angry with him, and delivered him to the tormentors. Now at first he was just going to put him in jail until he could pay it all. And then he forgives him. But now he doesn't just go back to his original plan to sell him for the debt and let somebody buy him as a slave. Now he sends him to the tormentors. His latter state was worse than his first, wasn't it? And so it is with us. If after having been forgiven a great debt by God, we, because of our unwillingness to forgive our fellow brothers and sisters, wind up reincurring that debt. You see, because when God forgives us, He forgives that debt on this contingency, that we forgive others. And if we fail to forgive others, then all of that debt that we owe Him, that He forgave us, we owe once again. He will not forgive us if we are unwilling to forgive others. Notice what He says in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We need to realize just, you know, sometimes we talk very lightly about holding a grudge or about somebody not forgiving somebody. Oh, well, that they won't forgive. You know, that, I'll never forgive so-and-so for doing such-and-such. We talk very lightly about that, but we need to realize this is a heaven and hell matter. If we're unwilling to forgive, we'll never make it. Now let's talk for just a minute about these amounts. Here's this man owes 10,000 talents. According to all the information I could find, a talent is, of course, a measurement of weight. It's a certain amount of either silver or gold. It's 780 ounces. 780 ounces is one talent. Okay, so, depending then on whether we're talking about silver or gold, that makes quite a difference. If it's silver, then this man owed $120 million, give or take, depending on the price of silver at any given time, in our money today. Can you imagine owing somebody $120 million? That's a lot. If, on the other hand, it was gold, if we're talking about a talent, the talents being talents of gold, then he would owe almost $8 billion. That's truly astronomical. And yet here he is promising, I'll pay it all back. How? How is he going to pay it all back? Now you might say, well, there are some billionaires, there are some really rich people. Well, yeah, but we're not talking about a really rich person. We're talking about a person who's in debt this far, not a person who has this kind of money. One thing that was mentioned to get us to understand what Jesus is bringing across to these people is the fact that the total tax that came in from Palestine, Judea, Perea, Idumea, Samaria, and Galilee, that area, the total tax that was brought into the Roman government from the area of Palestine where Jesus lived, the total tax was 800 talents per year. That was the total tax that everybody in the whole region paid, was 800 talents a year. And the amount this one man owes is over 10 times that much. I don't know how much our government takes in taxes every year. I know it's a lot. But can you imagine owing 10 times as much as they take in every year? You see, this is the picture that Jesus is painting for these people. This man owed more than the entire national budget. And this one man had no way to pay it. He's trying to bring across the idea that this is a debt so enormous that no matter what happened, it could never be paid. Now, if we look at that $120 million, we said, well, if I won the lottery, I might pay that off. But the idea that Jesus is pointing across, there's no way you could ever pay it off. And that's the idea of our sin before God. There is no way we could ever pay it off. It's impossible for us. And that's why we have to fall at God's feet and worship Him and beg Him to forgive us, because there's no way we can pay it off. Now, knowing that, why then do we ever imagine that we would be in the right to demand from somebody else that they somehow repay us? What could somebody else do to us that would ever be so bad that it would outweigh the debt that we owe God? It's not possible. If someone murdered our entire family, tortured us, tormented us for our entire lives, it still couldn't compare with the debt that we owe to God. And until we get that through our heads, we're going to continue to have harsh feelings and hold grudges and think badly about people until we realize it's not worth it. We've got to stand before God one day, and we do not want to be standing there having not forgiven our fellow man. Now, we understand that, of course, for them to receive forgiveness, they have to repent. Now, just because I don't hold it against them doesn't mean they get to go to heaven too. God is the only one who can truly forgive sin. But I can refuse to hold it against them. I can recognize that because I owe God so much, it's a minor thing. And in comparison, we talked about the $120 million if it was silver that we were talking about. In comparison, this man went out and strangled his neighbor and threw his neighbor in jail over $200. 100 pence. The pence is 1/8 of an ounce. So 100 pence would be basically about 7 ounces, 6 to 7 ounces of silver. At the market price this weekend, that's about $200. Can you imagine owing somebody $120 million and being concerned about $200? I mean, does that make sense? But that's what we do. That's more important than when I owe somebody else. We get all personal about it. We want revenge. We want to be made even. You know, sometimes people, you know, they wronged me. Well, how many people have you wronged? The fact of the matter is this servant probably, if he owed his Lord that much, he probably owed some other people a lot too. Because it's very rare that somebody only owes one person money. When we start owing everybody. If we don't pay this bill and we don't pay that bill and we start getting behind with everybody. It's not just one person. Even if it was gold, this man owed him about $12,000. Well, $12,000 is quite a bit of money. But not when you compare it with $8 billion. There's no comparison. So this man that Jesus points out to us, here he was, a sinner. Here we are, sinners. God's been willing to forgive us. How can we ever repay Him? We can't. But there is one thing that we can do. We can show His love and mercy to others, those who have wronged us, and share with them how merciful He is, that He forgave us so great a debt. We need to realize that having once tasted the heavenly gift, having been forgiven and knowing what it's like to have those sins washed away, we don't ever want to be in a situation where we have to pay that debt. Because there's only one way that debt ever can be paid. that's mentioned in verse 34. His Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay back the debt he owed. And the commentators on that, till he should pay, till is somewhat of an ironic word there. It doesn't indicate that there is a time where that's going to get paid off and then it'll be okay. It's more of the point that it'll never happen. Kind of like we would say, till, you know, somebody might say, well, I was out, could do this till the cows come home. Then they're talking about, well, till the evening when the cows come back. But then have you ever had somebody tell you that something was going to happen, you know, till hell freezes over? That's the kind of phrase this is, till he paid all back. You know, not going to happen. In other words, this man was sent to the tormentors, and that was the end of it. The only way we'll ever pay it back, if we're found wanting on the day of judgment, is with eternity in torment. Now balance that. An eternity in torment, suffering in the flames of hell for all eternity. Now what was it that somebody did to you that was so bad? What did they do to you that really was just so bad that you think it's worth suffering for all eternity? I can't imagine anything that anybody could do to me that would be that bad. In fact, the best way to get even with them is to forgive them and go on to heaven where you don't have to have people mistreating you anymore. That's the way to handle that. But I know we live in a world that says, you know, if they strike you on one cheek, then you strike them right back twice as hard. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus teaches us forgiveness. That's the way to really get even with them. Forgive them. Don't hold it against them. I hope that we'll recognize ourselves in this story, because that's the point that Jesus had for telling the story in the first place, was so that we would recognize ourselves as that unforgiving servant and not make the same mistake that he did. Recognize ourselves as owing God that great debt, and he's willing to forgive it when we come to him and ask him to forgive that debt. But don't make the mistake that that unforgiving servant did and go out and try to be unforgiving towards somebody else. That's a costly mistake. We'd be better off to try to pay back that $8 billion than to make that mistake. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you have not been forgiving as you should. Understand that if we're not willing to forgive others, God will not forgive us. That's harsh. How can he be that way? Because he's God. It's actually kind of a small thing that he's asking of us. He's saying, I'll forgive you this great debt. All I'm asking is that you forgive those little debts that people owe you. Those little 100-penny debts. And I'm forgiving you millions and billions. And you forgive those little dollar debts. Those little dollar debts. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.